Hi, I'm Pat. I work for OSTL. I'm going to talk about the driver model in the Linux kernel, the 2.5 kernel. If you don't know what it is, then hopefully this will explain it. I only have about 12 or 13 slides, but they're pretty packed, and so I'll try and go through them clearly and concisely as possible, and then open up for questions since we only have about 45 minutes, and I could probably talk about this for about 4 hours. So. There we go. Okay, so this is what we're going to talk about. I'm going to explain what the driver model is and talk about the SysFS file system and how it relates to the driver model, why it's a good thing, and what the current status is and what is coming up in the future. And I probably won't get to the why it's good and why it's going to save the world until probably the end, so just be patient and hold on. So what is the driver model? 1 second. Basically, the driver model is a set of generic objects to describe device-related, a set of generic structures to describe device-related objects in the kernel. What happens is that there's many bus drivers in the kernel, such as like PCI and IDE and USB, and they all contain like a lot of similar fields, and there's a lot of commonalities between them. But as many people have pointed out in the talks here, most kernel code gets developed by people copying other people's code, and so what happened is that there's all these structures and like all these buses that describe devices and whatnot, and they get copied. Thank you. They get replicated again and again and again, and so you wind up with all this replication of code and structures. And so what the driver model is it's an effort to consolidate all the disparate structures into commonly defined ones that can be reused over and over, and so which is usually a good thing. So what happens is that we come up with these common structures like struct device, and then what the bus drivers can do is use that common structure and embed it in the larger structures and use it to replace the fields that it now replicates. And then on top of that, on top of the generic data structures, we've implemented a set of common routines for a set of library routines for kernel drivers to use to operate on the data structures instead of once again having to replicate them over and over. So, of course, the burning question is probably why do we need to do this? So it started out a long time ago, about 2 years ago, when we wanted to do proper power management for systems that only used modern power management schemes like ACPI. And so what ACPI is it's a set of firmware that comes on most x86 systems these days. And in order to do power management using ACPI, the operating system has to operating system is in full control, as opposed to APM, where the BIOS is the mechanism for saving and restoring all the state. So with ACPI, the operating system has to save and restore all the device state in the system, and so it has to talk to every single device in the system. And so in order to do that properly, you need to have some sort of structure in the code, and you also wanted to do it in the right order. So as you're talking to all the devices, you shut down a device before you shut down its parent device. Otherwise, you won't be able to talk to the child device if you do it in the reverse order. So we needed a device tree, and we wanted to do it in such a way that we could just call one routine and talk to every device generically instead of having to having if-def-hell, where you have many like conditional paths of code based on what's configured in the system. So in order to do that, we needed each bus driver to register devices in the device tree as they're discovered. And so what needed to happen is that every bus driver needed to be modified in order to register a device. And so we also needed some sort of common object to describe the devices generically when they're registered in the tree. So in doing so, using, first of all, the PCI bus, and then later the USB bus, looking at other bus drivers, there's a lot of replicated code everywhere. And I was surprised. This is when I first started looking into the kernel. I was just amazed that there's these large bodies of code doing exactly the same thing on almost exactly the same type of data structures. And so, in looking at this, it presented itself lots of opportunities to consolidate the code into common data structures and common routines. And from there, my life has gone to complete hell, because as we've gone down this path and pulled in different pieces and realized that we can consolidate this one piece here, we also realized that if we take another step, we can also consolidate this piece here, and pretty soon we have this huge mess that has taken over a couple of our lives. So, if anybody has any questions along the way, feel free to ask. I'll try not to ignore you. So, getting onto what the driver model is and what the objects are, basically we have a set of objects and we have a set of routines to operate on those objects. So right now I'm going to talk about the objects briefly and what they are and what they're supposed to do. First of all, there's devices, which is what we needed in the first place. And so we have a common structure called struct device that generically describes a device. And the way that there's been a lot of ambiguity along the way about what type of object or what the object describes and what each object means and whatnot. And so try to describe these as concisely as possible and as clearly as possible, because everyone likes to come up with exceptions and prove me wrong. So basically, we describe a device as a physical component of a computer that performs a discrete function which the kernel can exert control over. So it's very broad, it's very generic, and it's meant to be that way. But it's not meant to be as generic to say that the case that my computer resides on is an actual device, because the kernel can't really talk to it. But you have things like CPUs, you have your obvious devices like network cards, audio cards, USB devices, whatever. We also define devices to be things like CPUs, thermal zones, which are usually described by the firmware, and the kernel can talk to them in some manner or another. So a device performs one function, usually, and it resides on a bus of a certain type, such as PCI or USB. And devices also, they're dynamically discovered by the bus. So a PCI bus driver will start up, and it will walk the PCI bus, and it will discover devices on the fly and add them to the device tree. So most devices are discovered that way, but things like serial ports and a lot of legacy devices and CPUs, you know exactly where they're going to be, and you know exactly where they are. So they're pretty much statically discovered. So the next object type are bus drivers. So we describe a bus driver by struct bus type. And a bus driver is basically a set of code that communicates with a bus of a particular type to do things like probing for devices on that bus, and to match drivers, to bind drivers to the devices that are found on that bus. And they do not describe instances of buses. So in a typical system, probably not any of the laptops that you have, but a lot of systems, especially larger systems, may have several PCI buses on them. We define struct bus type only once for the PCI driver, and we don't represent instances of bus type, buses at all in the driver model yet. So examples of bus types are PCI, USB, SCSI, and IDE. Bus drivers are usually statically allocated. In the PCI driver, you'll see like a definition of a struct bus type. There's only one of them. They're singular. They're not dynamically allocated or discovered. They're registered when the module is loaded or when the kernel starts up, if it's compiled into the kernel. And bus drivers all maintain lists of devices that are found on that type, on all types of that bus, and lists of drivers that are registered with that bus type. And so it sounds really generic and it sounds really obvious, but it's amazing how, when going through all the different bus drivers, that none of them really cared to notice that each other bus type was doing exactly the same thing, and pretty much in the same way. So the next object are device classes. And so a device class describes a function that a device performs, such as audio output or networking or an input device. And generally, device classes contain a set of protocols that represent interfaces that user space uses to communicate with the devices in the kernel that perform that certain function. So for example, networking devices, I have an Intel E100 network device on this laptop. And so that's a device that resides in the PCI bus. And the function that it performs is networking, which is the device class. And the interface to user space is the networking device like E0 that the user sees. Yes? Yes, if you have that compiled into the kernel. And so, like bus types, device classes are statically allocated, registered on startup, and they maintain lists of devices that are registered with it and the drivers that are registered with the class as well. And so the next thing is device drivers. So everyone knows what a device driver is. And it's really simple. It's really simple to describe a device driver. It's a piece of code that talks to a device. Well, fortunately, I thought it was that simple, but it's not that simple. It's not that simple to describe it generically. Basically, a device driver implements interfaces of a device class for a set of devices on a particular bus type. So we have the Intel E100 network driver, and what that does is it's specific to the PCI bus, and it works only for those sets of Intel network cards on PCI buses, and they implement the network interfaces. And so I also have some sort of audio device. It's Intel audio built in. So that resides on the PCI bus, and the driver for it only talks to those types of devices on the PCI bus, and it only implements audio devices. And so they're specific to the bus, both the bus and the class, and the drivers always, they talk to devices on the bus, on a particular bus type, so they're very specific to that bus. And that is how basically it forms a chain, and unfortunately I don't have any pretty pictures because pictures are really worth 1,000 words in this, but you have the user talking that wants to talk to a device which is on this end, so it talks to the interfaces that are exported by the device class, which then talks to the driver, which then talks to the device that's residing on the bus type. Does that make sense? Okay, yes. So typically, I'm not very familiar with the LM sensors, but as far as I understand, there's the sensors are essentially a device class, and so they represent a set of interfaces, a set of like a sensor interface or whatever, right? Right. So there are exceptions to this rule, and we try and those are very rare exceptions, and so what we're trying to do is break down those exceptions so there's explicit barriers between. There's you know exactly what bus you're talking to. Because no matter what, even if you have a driver for that operates on devices of multiple bus types, there are some network drivers that operate on cards that are both ISA and PCI. There are still hooks in that internal to that driver that are specific to the bus. And so those exceptions are rare, and so what we'd like to do is actually break those drivers up so that it's clearly defined that they're talking to different devices on different bus types. I'm sorry? It's a really bad idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
The NCR 720 chip, for example, is on PCI, EISA, GSC, and a couple of other different buses that you can know about. I don't want to have to maintain 5 different NCR 720 drivers.
No, that's a valid point. And I agree with you to some extent, but there's, no matter what, you still have to, there's still hooks for specific to each bus type.
Yeah.
But we can. Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm sorry? Oh, right. We haven't got there yet. I've been hoping that IDE SCSI will really die, like it has been planned. But
USB devices, actually, we did that sometimes. I've got an IDE hard drive that tends to scan you over USB.
Right. This is very fun. Those present some very interesting cases. We're trying to talk about them generically, and it's honestly like this is definitely a work in progress. I mean, this is what we know so far. And so things are always evolving. And so as these cases come up, it's been interesting to see exactly how they pan out. USB and serial actually has is another case like that, basically. Not quite as weird as IDE SCSI or devices registering as SCSI devices that don't really belong to a typical like IDE or SCSI bus. And so as far as those go, what happens is that for IDE SCSI, they create virtual devices, essentially, and they show up in the device tree, and they show up as SCSI devices, so the SCSI layer can talk to them and regard them as a real device, even though they don't map directly to a physical device.
some blocks which then forks out into a number of PCI clusters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the have, say, bridges to other PCI clusters.
Right.
And then the PCI bus may be some glue that leads to IDE.
So the keyword there is a bridge, and so we regard bridges as devices on a particular bus type. And what a bridge does is that it opens it on one side of the bridge is the bus on which the bridge device resides, and the other side of the bridge is the bus to which it opens up to. So if USB is a great example, and it's typical and it's very common on almost every system. So you have a USB controller that is a PCI device, and then it is. On the other side of that, when you load the driver, you have gain a window to the USB devices on there. So it's all up to the bus type to register devices and to set the parent device correctly so they get inserted into the right place in the tree. But to answer your question concisely, it should be handled automatically. Yes? I'll get there later. So I'll talk about the SysFS file system briefly. The code is located in FS, SysFS, and actually I didn't put this in the driver model. The driver model code is located in driver space in the kernel source tree in 2.5. SysFS file system is located in FS, SysFS, and include Linux SysFS, and documentation is in path right there. It's an in-memory file system based on RAMFS. Did anyone go to Greg's talk yesterday? Okay, so you should be vaguely familiar with the concepts. It was taken directly from ripping off RAMFS and modifying, although now it's heavily modified and doesn't look very much like it. It's a mandatory 2.5 feature, so it's in everyone's 2.5 system. You can mount it by doing that command right there, and the de facto standard place to put it is /sys. So it was originally written to debug the device tree, and that's all it was. It was just a debug tool. And it was originally written in proc. Basically, all it did was, as it registered devices in the tree, it made a creative directory in proc and verified that everything was going correctly. Then it said, don't use proc, it's a piece of crap. So he said, write your own file system. I said, what? And he said, it's really easy. And since then, it's grown and gained its own personality. And so, anyway. Now it provides a generic method to export kernel objects and their attributes by creating a directory for each object that is registered and their attributes as text files that are created in the directory of the objects. And you can represent relationships between objects very easily by using symlinks in the file system itself. And what that gives you is this ability to export to user space a complete and concise representation of kernel data structures and their properties. So let me see where I am. Okay, I'll give you a little demo of what it looks like very briefly. So this is just a shell, and I'm in this last sys directory, and inside the directory are a number of directories. Is it? I'm sorry? The font size? Okay. I'm sorry, I'm a stupid user. I just do kernel code. I don't know anything about this crap, so. Let's see. There we go. Great. So anyway, so the device tree that I spoke of is in the devices directory. And basically, it looks like this. Oh, it's blue again, right? OK. Anybody know how to turn this off? Do cat? OK. There we go. Make it larger? Oh, right, thank you. Oops. No, that's right. What's that? This is really embarrassing. Okay. Is it just the blue on the black background that's really bad? Is that better? Okay.
Control and
what?
Right.
Oh. All right. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so that's the device tree. 20 minutes later, it's still there. So there are still some obvious holes in it, but for the most part, this is basically like where we're at. You have the root directory is basically the system root. There is no system root device, even though some firmwares like to believe that there is. PCI 0 is the PCI host bridge. There's only one on my system, and beneath that are all the PCI devices. The second layer of PCI devices that you see are the devices behind a bridge, a PCI to PCI bridge that are in the system. We also have a couple of pseudo buses to represent legacy and system devices. System devices are the ones that you see up here like this, CPU 0, PIC 0, RT 0, C 0, and Timer 0. Legacy devices are things like ISA buses and serial devices, ISA and serial devices that I don't have on the system at all. And the IDE bus up there, and the one IDE device I have on the system is obviously the first hard drive on the system. It should actually be, for proper correctness, underneath one of the PCI devices, since the the IDE controller is a PCI device. But because of some badness in the IDE driver, that doesn't show up that way completely. So these are the devices for buses. And actually, let's see. Yeah, I'll get there. So, in the bus directory are all the bus types, all the bus drivers that are registered with the system. So the PCI bus type is in this directory, and inside there we see the representation of all the devices that are registered with the bus and all the drivers that are registered with the bus. So what you see, what those are symlinks between this directory and the devices' locations in the physical device tree. So instead of replicating the directories and replicating the objects, we just create symlinks to easily represent them and easily show where they reside in the tree. And what that gives you is a linear namespace of all the PCI devices in the system. And this happens for every bus type. Every bus type has a linear namespace of all the devices registered with it. We also see all the drivers that are registered with the PCI bus, and each one of the devices that is bound to each driver is in the driver's directory, and those are symlinks to the location in the physical hierarchy for each one of those devices. Yes? It's the same name. The name in directory is the same name as the driver name in the structure. So, and there's a limit of 16 characters, and so because of that, that gets chopped off, and there's a nice bug right there. But that's left there intentionally so people will eventually notice and fix it up, and hopefully when the developer, the driver, will someday do this and crash the system and say, hey, I need to do something, so. Yes?
In the bus tree, you've got 0010 manages four sub-devices, but in the driver's tree, it's only managing two.
I'm sorry?
Taking the hard bus driver, it's managing two devices.
Right.
But in the device tree that's above it, it's got four attached.
Oh, because the two car bus devices are behind the PCI to PCI bridge. And so also on the bridge is I think the network device and another one, but so The class tree, or the class hierarchy, is a little more sparse, as not that many class drivers have been converted to actually use the driver model and register, excuse me, in the system. So we only have three classes so far. There's input, TTY, and CPU. So for CPU, what that gives you, what it shows is the devices and the drivers that are registered with it. And since both of those objects each have representations already in the tree, all we do is create symlinks to their locations in the hierarchy. And for the name of the devices that are registered with the class, we enumerate them with the class, and we set the name of the symlink to be that enumerated value. And the driver is set to be the concatenation of the bus type and the driver name, since there may be drivers with the same name that are registered with the class, such as serial. So, any questions so far? Yes? I'm sorry? Right. We don't do anything with device nodes as of yet. This is only for device attributes and their hierarchy in the tree. That's it. So considering the attributes, what we have under devices is that, this is cut off, but that's okay. So as you saw before, we have a hierarchy of all the devices in the tree. That was just the directory, so it's just the names itself. In each directory, in each PCI device, there are a set of files, a set of ASCII text files that are attributes that are of the device that are exported to user space. And so what the driver model provides you is an easy way to export attributes to user space. And so that's what these files contain. Actually, I'll get to in 1 second. Do it this way. So it's using Conqueror, which does a really nice job of displaying the hierarchy and the attributes. So we go into our PCI devices under sysbus PCI, and we see the representation of all the devices, which are symlinks to the directories. And let's see, which one? This is my network card, and these are all the text files that are in the directory. And Conqueror does a nice job of actually previewing the files, and so you can actually see what the values of those are easily. And so for the IRQ of the device, you can click on it and actually will open up the file for you. Let's say 9. Yes?
Do you see this becoming dev text?
No.
Like
no, but I will get to this point in a little later on. So let me jump back to the presentation for a minute. So what you just saw was the driver model representing the device tree, very simply. And what I talked about before were the objects of the driver model. So the other part of the driver model is driver model core, which is, I do have that up there. So that's in driver space. And what the driver model core is a set of functions to operate on the objects that I described before. And what it does is it generically implements all the features that, or a lot of the features that the buses have replicated again and again and again. And what we're working on is gradually consolidating more and more code. And so it operates on generic objects, and it's all in one place instead of scattered out throughout the kernel. What it also does is it implements common features on every driver model object, such as registration and unregistration, reference counting, and locking, which are big things. So all the structures provide primitives for reference counting and locking. So we provide a simple way to do that with callbacks to do basically destructor methods for the objects. What it also does is driver binding. So driver binding is when it's dynamically associating a device with a driver. So when I have a set of PCI devices in here, when I load the E100 driver, the PCI bus will iterate over all the devices that it knows about and try and attach the driver to one or more of the devices. And so almost every bus does pretty much the same thing. And so what we've done is we've tried to generalize that as much as possible and move as much of that into the core. And what we also do is call ESPN hotplug for every device. that is both registered in the system and when it's registered with a class. And so when you plug in a USB device like this one right here, when the bus discovers it and registers it, it will call Espen Hotplug. And then when it's bound to the TTY class, which this belongs to, it will also call Espen Hotplug again, automatically for every bus type and for every class type from the core. And so buses don't have to re-implement this over and over. And so in the future, we'll be moving more and more things in, hopefully to do things like modifying device resources like IRQ and IR resources. But those are pretty sticky situations. Those are pretty sticky issues that require a lot of thought. And so, but they should happen eventually. So the current status, which I've covered a little bit of, we have several bus drivers converted, such as PCI and USB are pretty much completely converted to use the driver model as much as possible. SCSI is using it a bit. IDE is using it a bit. And there's a couple more here and there. Some device classes, as you saw, not very many are converted. What we want to do now, what we're working on now, is converting more bus drivers and more class drivers, although it's a pretty... it takes a while, it takes a lot of thinking, and it takes a lot of evaluation of the driver itself to properly do it, so we don't go in and really screw things up. We're working, hopefully, on getting decent power management. Even though the initial goal was to do decent power management, I got sidetracked working on filling out all the rest of the stuff and doing what I've described before. The current model is mostly stable for 2.6. I don't expect any major changes before 2.6 is finalized. I do want to implement bus instance structures, so you can generically represent like all the PCI buses that you have in the system, and all the USB buses, etc., to make things a little more easier. And we might need, as I've described before, with IDE SCSI and some of those oddities that exist in some of the buses, some more tweaking may be needed to get things right and smooth things out. And so in the future, what we want to do, obviously, is create more generic infrastructure for everyone to use, which cuts down on the number of replicated code, which is good, makes it easier to maintain, which is good, and hopefully reduces the number of bugs, which is good. We want to do eventually dynamic and persistent device naming, which starts to get into the territory of DevFS. Essentially, what we have, theoretically, I'm just going to gloss over this because I can talk for hours about this. Imagine you have a disk layer or a disk class, and so when a device is registered with a disk class, we call Espen Hotplug, and what we pass to Espen Hotplug is the path to the device. And so what the Espen Hotplug agent can do is look up that device in SysFS, which is basically what everything is designed to do now. It can uniquely identify that device by some sort of unique identifier, like a UUID, and then it can look in some sort of policy file or some sort of database in user space that will then create device nodes and etc. for the device itself. And along those same lines, names are essentially just an attribute, and so what we can theoretically do is do the same thing for device attributes such as power settings or whatever you want to name your devices, or IRQs, resources, whatever. Sky's the limit, pretty much. Other topics that come up very often are hardware inventories for basically doing that exact same thing. You can manage, essentially, SysFS gives you a window into the kernel and everything it knows about all the devices in the system, or it's essentially getting to be that way. And so based on a snapshot of what SysFS looks at any given point, you have a snapshot of what your running system looks like. And so by exploiting SysFS in user space, you can record whatever you have, everything that's in your system easily. Also along those lines are user space device probing. So by exporting the devices that are in your system, everything in the kernel knows about that, we can trigger device probing to happen from user space. So, or user space can have some sort of image or some sort of recollection of what devices are in your system. So instead of having the kernel probe every single device in the system, like scan the PCI bus for every possible slot, or scan the SCSI bus for every possible device that may be on the SCSI bus, we can have a user space agent that tells the kernel exactly where the devices reside. That could theoretically speed up booting quite a bit. Another thing is multipath devices. Multipath devices are a pain in the ass. Put it simply, there has been some work done on multipath devices and representing them in the device tree. We've talked about it. There's been several discussions about this, and it's kind of a, it's a hot topic somewhat in the enterprise level, enterprise class systems. We want to be able to somehow represent multipath devices nicely in the tree, so, and not duplicate as little information as possible. So with multipath devices, basically you have a device and you have two things that can talk to the device, or more than one thing that points to the device. And so typically in the device tree, we have a hierarchy, which is, SysFS is really nice for talking about these kinds of things. So you have a path to the device, which is represented in SysFS through a directory path. And you discover another path to the device. So what we'd like to do is create some sort of symlink or hard link in SysFS to point to, from the second controller, to point to the device for the secondary pass. And then basically use that analogy to translate that into an equivalent kernel representation. So having some sort of object or some sort of descriptor that describes a secondary path to a device after a primary one has already been found. Does that make sense? Okay. But it's not done yet. We have some code that theoretically works, but hasn't been tested out very much. So, also through SysFS and the benefits of the driver model, we can build manageability applications for the kernel. So SysFS gives you everything the kernel knows about every device. What we'd like to see is applications built on top of that that exploit it and leverage everything that SysFS gives you so that you can build applications that you can easily peek and poke at all the device attributes and all the device, everything about devices that the kernel knows about, which can be really handy instead of having like 50 different applications that tweak a certain part of the kernel or look at a certain part of the kernel. You can do everything all at once generically. So, in summary, the driver model is good. And if you don't believe me, read that first line again. It's basically an effort to consolidate code and data structures, reduces replicated code, hopefully reduces bugs, and it makes it easier to understand and to follow. As time goes on, it will continue to evolve and consolidate code, and it will eventually achieve peaceful omnipotence and make everyone happy once again. Any questions? Actually, wait, I have one more slide. So acknowledgments, it's my great ass kissing, thank you. Let's see, first of all, I'd like to thank Transmeta Corporation for employing me and for sending me on the initial work to do the driver model, which is the power management, how the power management side came to be. OSDL for paying my current salary. Greg up there for helping me do most of this work. And all the other kernel developers for criticizing me and telling me what's wrong with it. Like, Matt, I'm here. And LCA for letting me speak. So, any questions? Yes. I'm sorry. I can't. I would like to say not that much. It's been bumpy during some parts of it, but what we've tried to do is from the very beginning is convert things at a high level as possible, so that everything downstream from it won't be affected whatsoever. So for instance, in the bus drivers, PCI was the first bus driver to be converted to use the driver model. In order to get devices represented in the tree, all we had to do was add one structure to the PCI dev structure. No drivers had to be touched at all. It was only about three lines of code that we needed to do in order to register PCI devices. And so what we tried to do the entire time is look for ways to minimize the pain by masking the effects, masking the downstream effects. Yes?
Is it intended to replace the vast number of various things that the simulation is going to start pocket from, like a box of bus stuff?
Eventually, yes. We'd like to move. One of the things that SysFS gives you is that, one of the things that it does is that it places restrictions on the placement of objects and the type of attributes that you can export through it, so you don't get the complete anarchy that you do in proc, which provides you much more structure and much more sanity in doing that. So what we'd like to see is things being converted over from proc to use the driver model in SysFS instead of doing their own complete separate thing.
Another question is, how many changes is your choice of a new top level
map? As in, have there been any issues over it? There's been none so far. So, no one's complained. Yes?
So, if you're going to have a system, it's either right to set, like, you know, resources and stuff, what type of work did you say would you use an ISTL to when you can get the driverless program against the case?
Why would you use SysFS instead of?
What would you say should be a suspension for usable versus ISTL?
IOCTLs are very bad for several reasons. One is that it's a binary interface. SysFS gives you an ASCII interface, and so you can...
What would you use SysFS for
over ISTL? Why use SysFS instead of IOCTLs? Right. IOCTLs are bad. They're bad for several reasons. One is that it's a binary interface, and so you have to have a C, you have to have some sort of binary code to talk to use the IOCTL. Easily with SysFS, it's an ASCII interface, and so you can use any type of tool, even the plain command line within the world tools, to actually tweak the values. IOCTLs also have problems when converting to 64-bit systems and doing the translation between 32 and 64 bits, and so we'd like to see more things move to this nicer, user-friendly interface. Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first part of it. Must be an advantage for DevFS to mount map the devices onto the physical path. Yeah, that'd be nice. If it could. Richard Gooch has said for probably a year and a half now that he was going to implement something similar to this, some sort of physical hierarchy of the devices, but I've yet to see any anything like that from him. And last time I spoke to him, he actually said that he would like to use SysFS to actually provide, he was willing to use SysFS to provide the mapping between physical and logical views of the devices. But I haven't seen anything yet. So.